Louis, thank you so much. That was beautiful. 3 weeks ago this weekend, we had a conference here at the Glen for dentists. And the two speakers were Larry Ebert and Skip Gray. And but of course, Larry is having a conference in heaven. So his sweet young widow came, Helen. So Helen was here to share the things that Larry would have shared. And she's carrying on their ministry and doing a beautiful job. Very, very touching. The day that Larry arrived in heaven, his first grandchild was born. Yeah, just unbelievable, you know. The pain, the trauma, the young adult kids working their way through all of that. So if you think of it, pray for Helen and the kids. And it's just, you know, it's... takes a long, long time. Pat, we're sure thrilled you're here, sweetheart. The reason we're here tonight is because of Dave and Pat. And I want to say that properly. Dave and Pat. her life and her love and her walk with the Lord and her faith and her kindness and generosity and hospitality and just a gracious, gracious handmaiden of the Lord, and we're thrilled that she made the effort to come down. Davey, thanks for bringing your mom. Total treat. It's always fun. Peter says we're heirs together of the grace of life. We make so much reference to couples, and that's not to in any way put down men and women who are single for whatever reason. And it has to do with where God has you, but if you're married, we're heirs together of the grace of life. Two Greek words for life. Yeah, sit down. I had you in mind for the message.
I knew it.
Yeah. there's the Greek word bios. We have biology. There's another Greek word, zoe, D-Z-O-E. It's the totality of human experience. Intellectual, spiritual, social, emotional, physical. And that's the word Peter uses in 1 Peter 3. We're heirs together of the totality of human experience. And that's why we just keep talking about that. And we'll keep talking about it. Because we want medicine to bring you closer. And ministry to bring you closer. And all of life to bring you closer. And if that's not happening, something's wrong with it, and it needs to be reevaluated and modified. What kind of a person is going to finish well? Dave Simon in his workshop this morning referred to a meeting that we had here. When was the big meeting? We had 800 men in this room and had scaffoldings and 3 and 4 layers of guys, and the fire marshal didn't know about it. And... when was that? In the late, mid-60s? Or, you know, and one of the guys said, 65? Yeah. Well, back in the mid-60s. Yeah. And one of the guys said, well, turn to the guy on your right and the guy on your left, because 20 years from now, one or both of them won't be walking with God. And Dave talked about making that commitment in his heart to finish well. To finish... In warfare, being a casualty is a matter of chance. You're in the wrong place at the wrong moment when the bullet comes by. In spiritual warfare, being a casualty is a matter of choice. You don't have to be a casualty. You don't have to be put on the shelf. You don't have to spend the rest of your life in the swamp of mediocrity. What kind of a person finishes well? And I want to share with you 5 thoughts tonight, 5 ideas. For many, many years, the Navigators have what's called the fat man, F-A-T, faithful, available, and teachable. But the older I got and the more I looked like a fat man, I thought, I got to change that. You know, this food here has been great. There's 3 more days here, I'd be taller if I fell over. So I've changed it to the faith man, F-A-I-T-H, faithful, available, interdependent, teachable, and holy. There's a deep bedrock conviction, immovable, unshakable, that by His grace, by the power of His Spirit, with the encouragement of godly brothers and sisters who love me and care for me and surround me, I will be a faithful man, an available man, an interdependent brother in Christ. I'll be teachable. I'll just keep growing and learning and not grow old and stale and crotchety like so many guys, and grow in holiness. So that's the talk tonight. So let's see how we're doing here. About 8:25, is that it? We can make it. Are we going to have refreshments tonight? Supposed to be ice cream. We'll be done at 8:30. Okay. Corinthians 4:2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's do another little pop quiz like we did the other night. We ask you the meaning of wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, and silver, and precious stones. So when you hear the word faithful, what comes to your mind? Loyal. Dependable. What? Obedient. Consistent. Pardon me? I'm sorry. Courageous. Okay. Okay, good. Trustworthy, reliable, dependable, courageous, consistent, loyal. It's required in stewards that you and I be found faithful. This is on God's heart. Only faithful men and women finish well. Unfaithful, unreliable, undependable people don't finish well. Now, we're not talking about losing our salvation. The Christian life is just like physical life. There's point, line, point. Birth, life, death. Salvation is free because it cost Jesus Christ a cross. The Christian life cost you and me a cross. That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow morning. But it's faithfulness. Day after day, reliable, trustworthy, dependable. Jesus Christ said in Luke 16:10 and following, "He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And if you're unfaithful, unreliable, undependable in little stuff, you're just an unreliable person. The navigators have an illustration called the wheel. Dawson Trotman came up with it years ago when he was working with, bless you, came up working with the junior high kids. And Jesus Christ is the center and the Christian is the rim, and there are four spokes in the wheel. The Word of God and prayer and fellowship and witness. And I want to suggest tonight that you commit yourself to be faithful in those four areas the rest of your life. Faithful in the Word of God. Faithful. You read it and study it and memorize and you meditate upon it. You digest it. This book is our spiritual food. It's our nourishment. Thy words were found and I did eat them. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Ta-da!
Ta-da. Sweetheart, you're wonderful. Word, prayer, fellowship, witness. You are a real quick artist, I tell you what. Speedy Gonzalez has nothing on you. That's good. Well, copy that down during coffee break. Oh, okay. A couple of you gentlemen, please help and put it right up here on the platform. Thank you. You You know, the Bible is like no other book in the world. Every other book in the world you can read once, maybe read twice, and kind of get the idea. And most of the time it goes on your shelf. And that's fine. Certain books you may read more than once, two, three times. But generally, that's okay. Not the Bible. The Bible is our spiritual food. Jesus Christ said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." The Jews were offended. They thought he was talking about cannibalism, which was expressly prohibited in the Mosaic Law. They didn't let him finish the sentence. "The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life." Physically, what are you tonight sitting there in the chair? With the exception of your brain cells, the hard part of your femur, and a couple of other odds and ends, physically, your body is the sum total of everything that's gone in your mouth the last 2 years. You're just so many Big Macs with a sweater on tonight. Your physical body. The same thing is true spiritually. Your inner man, your inner woman, is the sum total of all of the spiritual nourishment you've taken in the last couple of years. And digestion is still a mystery. We understand quite a bit, but not all, about digestion. How is it that meat and potatoes and fruit and vegetables and grains and dairy products go in here and through a wonderful, still not fully understood process, it becomes skin and bone and blood and connective tissue and all the rest? The same thing happens with the Bible. You take the Word of God into your life, and the Scriptures, when you read them and meditate upon them and obey them, become Jesus Christ's life in you. Just as physical food becomes your body, so your spiritual food becomes Jesus Christ's life in you. Faithful in the Word. Time in the Word. Quiet time in the morning. Memorizing a few verses. Reviewing a few verses when you have a spare moment. Reflecting on the Scriptures before you go to sleep at night. Much more edifying than the evening news. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Do what it says. Be faithful in the Bible every day the rest of your life. Jesus Christ will live his life through you. Faithful in the Word. How faithful in prayer? Same way. There are four things you do for physical health. You eat well, breathe well, rest well, and exercise well. That's the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witness. You do four things for good physical health. You do four things for good spiritual health. Prayer is breathing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. You breathe without ceasing. Now, there are times when you get alone, you have a half day alone with God. You go over the list, you pray for friends and loved ones and lift your heart in praise and thanksgiving and adoration and confess your sins. But all through the day, you're just constantly dialoguing with the Lord. You're praying, you're fellowshipping. That's why we pray without ceasing. You're faithful in prayer. You're faithful in fellowship. We need each other. There are times when you get together for Sunday school or church or a special meeting for the ladies or for the guys and all of the rest. Why? Because we really need one another. And we're faithful in fellowship. And we're committed to it. All of us have heard the illustration of taking the coal out of the fire. And it dies. You keep the coal in the fire and it stays alive because the other coals keep it alive. That's the Christian life. And then witness. We're here to share. So many Dead Sea Christians around. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Because everything runs in and nothing runs out. You can either be a Sea of Galilee Christian or a Dead Sea Christian. If you're a Sea of Galilee Christian, it flows in and it flows out. And there's life and it's dynamic. Or you can be a below sea level saint. And everything runs in and glunk, there it is. And you are salty and dead. So we witness, we share. And I don't mean we collar people and buttonhole people. 99% of our witness is nonverbal. It's just being loving and patient and, you know, being real. That's your witness. It just becomes so attractive. It's irresistible. People have to know what makes you tick. And the answer is Jesus Christ. So our first commitment is to be faithful in the word, in prayer, in fellowship, in sharing, verbal and nonverbal. Have I communicated clearly? Sweetheart, anything you want to add, modify? Oh, yeah, I'm just picking four. Yeah, faithful in every area of life. Thank you. She's a good lady. She keeps me, you know. Yeah, faithful in every area of life. But particularly those four I want to emphasize. Okay, available. We referred last night to 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Not talking about sin here. We're talking about entanglements. We're talking about you being Gulliver and the Lilliputians getting you down. The Lilliputians are committee chairmen. Your life verse is committee thy way unto the Lord. And no, you've got to be ruthless. Prune. Evangelicals want to fill the world with shade. God wants to fill the world with fruit. Read John 15. Prune. Cut. Trim back. Be available. Slow down. Don't go through life in passing gear. You don't see Jesus jogging through Judea. Sprinting through Samaria. You know, galloping through Galilee. No, he walked slow enough that a hemorrhaging woman could reach out and touch him. If a hemorrhaging woman tried to reach out and touch you, gentlemen, she'd fall flat on her face. And sometimes the hemorrhaging woman is your own wife. And the hemorrhage is emotional. Slow down. Some of you guys, the best way to describe your life is a rerun of the opening scene of a James Bond movie. That's what you look like. Slow down. What is the rush? Wait. Listen. Sometimes the godliest thing you can do is sit by the fire, read a novel, and listen to Mozart. We're supposed to be human beings, not human doings. Available. The Holy Spirit said, hey, I want you to do something. I want you to go talk to that neighbor. You couldn't get there till next month. Now, that doesn't mean we You know, that we don't have a plan, and we have a schedule, and we have certain obligations. And yes, certain committees are absolutely important at this time of life, obviously. But slow down. Some of you are hyperventilating. Don't go through life looking at the other guy's traffic signal. You know what you do? Your light is red, but you're not looking at it. What are you looking at? You're looking at the other guy's green light. And when that sucker turns yellow, it's going to... Stop looking at other people's traffic signals. Discipline yourself to look at the red light. And don't take your foot off the brake till that thing turns green. And if this guy honks at you, that's his problem. Ask him what else he got for Christmas. Yeah. Slow down. Be available. Yeah. So you Aggies will get that tomorrow morning, guys. Yeah. Are you available? Cut away. Simplify. Prune. Any thoughts on that? Any comments? Have I communicated clearly?
Can I explain the joke?
Explain the joke?
He's not an Aggie. Not an Aggie. Oh. No. Oh, sorry. It's kind of like the Texan that moved to Oklahoma and raised the IQ average of both states. the objective is fun. I'll hear from the Okies here shortly. Oh my. Interdependent. There are two extremes. One is obviously being dependent. Some people are wounded. Some people are hurt. Some people are dependent. That's where they are in life, and that's okay. And they need love and encouragement and nurture and an environment where they can heal and recover. And that's part of our ministry, is to care for people who are dependent. The other extreme is the independent, you know, the Lone Ranger, the Rambo with an NIV, just get out of his way. He is a hazard to your health. What's on God's heart is interdependence. It's a healthy, biblical self-esteem. I know who I am. I know what my gifts are. I know what my strengths are, my weaknesses. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm terrible at. I need the team. I need all of the one another's in the New Testament. Loners don't make it. Loners don't make it. We all need ground controllers. If you were contemplating suicide and you only had a quarter in your pocket, who would you call? Now, ground controller is not some self-appointed junior Holy Spirit telling you what God's will is for your life. That's why you get an unlisted number. The ground controller is a godly man or a godly woman where there's mutual respect, love. You understand and appreciate each other. This person is qualified to ask hard questions and expect honest answers. You still have to make the decision. 90% of godly counsel is just asking the right questions. But interdependent. Do you have that team? Do you have that fellowship? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul refers to Epaphroditus. Chapter to, I think, verse 25. My brother, companion in labor, and fellow soldier. The outer circle, brother. That's every believer in the church. My brother and sister in Christ. Then a smaller circle, my companions in labor. That's still thousands of people who love Jesus Christ and serve Him in a thousand different ways. We're companions in labor. Then there's the fellow soldier. That's the guy you've shared the foxhole with. That's the woman that you have wept with in prayer. Fellow soldiers. And probably in your lifetime, you'll only have six or eight of them. They are true friends. Everybody else may be an acquaintance. Interdependent. But do you have a few of those? Do you have one or two? In a mobile society, very often they're all over the country. Spend your tithe on AT&T if you have to, but stay in touch. Stay in touch. Stay in touch. Interdependent. We need one another. Our society is characterized by loneliness today. Millions of people staring at glass tubes, watching other people talk. Desperately lonely. Whatever it takes. Now, if you don't have that kind of a person, don't panic, but make it a serious matter of prayer. Lord, bring into my life a godly man, a godly woman, a godly couple who will be ground controllers that we can really talk to, interact with. Get the hard questions and learn to be honest. Drop the mask. Stop playing the game called church or whatever it's called. Be real. One of the most powerful verses in the entire scripture on the whole subject of ministry is 1 John 1:1. There are four verbs in there. We heard Him, we saw Him, we stared at Him, and we handled Him. Mild impact to hear someone. A little stronger impact to see him or her. Thirdly, something we don't do in our culture is to stare at. John says we gazed upon him. And then John says our hands handled the word of life. The first time the word was made stone and produced a generation of men who crucified the only innocent man who ever lived. The second time the word was made flesh. And we handled him. And he changed our lives. That's what we're talking about. Letting people get close enough to handle you. And you handle them in a healthy, biblical, ethical way. Socially and emotionally and spiritually. But if you don't have that kind of a person yet, put it way high in your prayer list. It's a life and death issue. Interdependence. Then, question, comment. Talk to me, Jonathan.
Would you comment on the advisability or inadvisability of the spouse playing that role?
Comment on the advisability of the spouse playing the role. Thank you. I very much appreciate that. That's an excellent question. It is, in my view, over the long haul, an unhealthy thing if your wife is your only best friend or your husband. It puts too much pressure on the marriage. So your wife should be one of your very best friends or your husband, but not your only one. Men need men and women need women. So yes, we start there with the marriage, but very often, if that's the beginning and the end, there's too much pressure on the relationship. suppose you're contemplating divorce. Who are you going to talk to? It just doesn't work. Or when the death of one occurs, there have to be men available to men and women with women. Occasionally, you'll have a beautiful situation where a couple can relate with a couple. And that's wonderful when it happens. But often, your best friend and his wife is not the best friend of your wife, and that's okay. It just, you don't want to crowbar the thing and contrive it. So, any comments on that? Don't overburden your own marriage. There's enough stress on it as it is. Teachable. Acts 18:24 through 28, fascinating passage. Apollos, reared in a university community of Alexandria, eloquent, mighty in the scriptures, arrives in Ephesus. Tremendous credentials, but theologically deficient. He only understood the baptism of John the Baptizer. And Aquila and Priscilla, who had earlier been discipled by the Apostle Paul, listened to the message, spent personal time with him, instructed him in the way of God more perfectly. Now, he could have said, hey, wait a minute. I've got more training than you do. I've got more credentials. I've got more degrees. I know more about the Bible. Blah, blah, blah. And blown it. He was teachable, not gullible. Teachable. Gullible people never finish well. A teachable person listens to what is taught and cross-references it with the Bible. Read the Bible. Check the Bible. Go to the Bible. The Bereans listened to the Apostle Paul and compared his teaching with the Scriptures. And they were commended for it. A teachable person will listen with a good heart, evaluate what is taught with the scriptures, and decide for himself or herself. And keep growing. But keep growing. So many believers, you do this course and do that course, you memorize these verses, and then we're going to glide into heaven. The Christian life glides like a rock. It is power all the way. Dr. Howie Hendricks of Dallas Seminary talks about the memorial in the cemetery. John Doe died age 21, buried age 67. He quit growing. He quit reading. He quit learning. Quit exposing himself to men and women of God who could help him. Keep pushing the envelope. Keep stretching. Faith is like a muscle. It'll atrophy if it isn't used. And so is your intellect. Use it. So is your heart. Use it. Stretch. Be teachable. Listen. So often, we've got this doctrinal statement, that's it, kind of signed the doctrinal statement 30 years ago, and you're a Dead Sea saint. You haven't learned anything new. You smell like a Dead Sea saint. The reason some people don't become Christians is because of Christians. Break out of the cocoon. And not just the scriptures, but read novels and read literature and read drama. Be able to converse intelligently on a broad range of human interests. Some people only read Christian books. It's like people that drink carrot juice all day. They turn yellow. teachable, not gullible. Okay. Did I communicate clearly? Are we okay? The final characteristic of a man or woman who finishes well is holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'd like you to memorize 2 Corinthians 7:1. If you're memorizing some other verses, put on a little note page somewhere where you can memorize it when the time comes. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Filthiness of the flesh, very straightforward. We talked about it last night. Flee youthful lusts. Burn the stuff that pollutes your mind. Filthiness of the spirit, much more subtle, much more deadly. Envy. Unresolved anger. They'll destroy you. It's a malignancy. Let us cleanse our... You cannot carve rotten wood. It isn't even good for kindling. Let us cleanse ourselves. Perfecting holiness. We're talking process. We're talking day by day. We're talking little by little. Lord, give me grace to grow in holiness, to deal ruthlessly with sin. Deal with sin. If you don't deal with sin, you will die. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not fall into error, my beloved brother. Deal with it. Nip it in the bud, whatever it takes. Perfect holiness in the fear of God. One of the dangers in the evangelical community is that we get so lovey-dovey and emotional about God. And we need a healthy, warm heart response to God. He's our Father. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our brother, our Lord, our friend. But there's a healthy biblical balance perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God hates sin. If it hadn't been for sin, His Son would not have died on a tree. God hates sin as much as you hate the disease that would take one of your own children. You would do everything in your power to eradicate that disease. And God has done everything in His power to eradicate that disease. You perfect holiness in the fear of God. Yes, He's my Father. Yes, He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you and I perfect, we bring to maturity holiness in the fear of God. What will it take to finish well? Be a faithful man, a faithful woman. Reliable, available, interdependent, particularly with an accountability fellowship of men and women who know you and love you. Teachable, always growing, perfecting holiness, the fear of God. That man, that woman, will finish well. Well, any final words? How are we doing? 3 minutes till 9. Good. Okay. Why don't we pray? Do we go downstairs or the foyer? The foyer. Good. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray for grace as we look into our own hearts. Grace to be faithful in the word, faithful in prayer, faithful in fellowship, faithful in sharing. That our spiritual health may continue to flourish, even as we care for these temples entrusted to our care, called our bodies. Give us the grace to be available, slow down, disengage, prune. Be good listeners. Not always having to have an agenda for every 15-minute block of time. Not having the mental burden of a beeper when we're playing on the floor with the kids. Interdependent, Lord. Honestly interrelated with other godly men and women. Teachable, always growing, committed to holiness in the fear of God. Thank you for doing this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.